Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. My name is Puchina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. I say that over and over again because I just think about some of the things where I've been and where I am now. And I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be, and I'm grateful for it. And before I start the show, you know I don't get the show started without prayer, so let's just go right into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the honor and the praise. I thank you for allowing us another opportunity to see another daylight savings time, Lord. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. But most of all, I thank you for your unconditional love. And, Lord, I ask as I move forward tonight, I ask you to decrease Puchina and bring in your Holy Spirit. I invite your Holy Spirit to come in and saturate my mind, saturate my heart, saturate my soul right now, Lord. I ask you to watch over those who are listening on the World Wide Web. I thank you those who are doing it live right now and those who will be listening to it on demand after the show is over. I thank you for those who are listening within the United States and those who are listening to it outside the United States. I thank you for the people that this message is designed to touch. And as I go deep, Lord, as I go deep, I just ask that you, I just invite your Holy Spirit to come in and just come in front of me, Lord, as we move forward tonight on this topic. And it's in your son Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. So I just want to get the pleasantries out the way. This is Puchina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your continuous support with the program. We're going on 2 years. It just seems like a year just flew by, and it looks like we're coming across our second year, and we're actually finishing up the first quarter of the year. Can you believe it? I'm in awe right now, but I cannot do this without your support. You know, when it was placed to me and to take the leap of faith to do it, I just can honestly say it's just been a phenomenal experience. And even in the moments when I think I'm not doing my best, God always reminds me, or I get that phone call, or I get that text, or I get that email to encourage me to continue to do what I'm doing. I just thank you for always being supportive. And those who are not familiar with Chronicles of a Fonder Woman, please log into the show. We come on every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you know someone who could be blessed by it, if they're on Blog Talk Radio, by all means, please have them, you know, tap in, or they can also listen to me on demand. And they can do that by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/ Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. You can also catch us on our Facebook page. I am on Facebook, and it's the page is Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. That has spaces in between. I was asked that before. So you can always catch me on there. And those who know me personally know that I always post everything on my Facebook page as well, which is Puchina Kirkendall. And for those who email me, I thank you so much for your support on that. And continue, I encourage you to continue to do it, because it really, really makes me, I feel so blessed and humbled that you would take the time out to do it. But for those who are not aware of the email address, you can email anytime, whether it's a topic, whether it's a response to a topic or a topic you would like to discuss. You can email me at C as in Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. Once again, that email address is COAFwoman@gmail.com. And for those who like to text in, there are times people like to text in. So during the show tonight, if you don't want to come in live, I do have people who likes to text me things. You're more than welcome to do it. definitely welcome in receiving that. You can always text me at 678-887-9441. Once again, you can text me at 678-887-9441. That number is provided for those who want to, don't want to be on the show, don't want to, you know, be seen, but just want me to read their response. So you're more than welcome to do so. It's been very, very helpful. I notice when I do it. So how toxic are you? Oh my gosh, is that me? How toxic are you? Toxic behavior is something special. And sometimes when we are looking at other people and we're examining other people, like I'll use myself for an example. You all know that I might be in a fishbowl. So I just finished a class. I'm definitely doing some reading on another book called Addicted to Pain. If you're not familiar with that book, it's by Rainey Howard. You need to check that book out. It has a workbook as well. But it was really deep. It caused me to go deep inside my emotions. And for the past 2 weeks, toxic has been the subject all over Facebook for some reason. And one thing we do is we have a tendency of looking at toxic relationships, toxic people, and we see it with other people, but we don't look at the man in the mirror. When I was doing my workbook, I was looking at some of the toxic behavior that are displayed when you are, you know, dealing with toxic people, and I started thinking, oh my gosh, is this me? And I had to answer that hard question. Yes, it was me. It is me. And I realized I need to fix the man in the mirror, because this is a temporary situation now that you've admitted it. But it's interesting when we're looking at other people, we have a tendency of not looking at ourselves first. And that's what the show is about tonight. You know, how toxic are you? Now, it'll be unrealistic for me or anyone to think that no one has any type of toxic running through them or display some type of toxic behavior. So when I say that, let me make sure I'm clear on some of the things, because you got to be careful what you put out in the atmosphere. I have displayed toxic behavior. I really have. And now that I recognize that, that really is really kind of knocked the wind out of me to a degree, because I was so quick to looking at other people that I never once looked at myself and realized, oh my gosh, I've displayed this type of behavior on an occasion or two or three or four or five. You know, I've done that. So what do I need to worry about the other person, or do I need to start with the man in the mirror? And I need to start with the man in the mirror. And so as I go through and I was doing my research on toxic behavior, I came across the definition of a toxic person. And I got this from www.webmd.com. that says, a toxic person is anyone whose behavior adds negativity and upset to your life. Many times, people who are toxic are dealing with their own stresses and trauma. Wow. I started doing that reality check and realized, coming from a background of abuse, coming from the background of abandonment and rejection, coming from the background of so many traumatic experiences in my life, I too have displayed toxic behavior. So now, instead of looking at other people, I am now examining myself and realizing I need to do some serious work within me and dealing with me on that. So the poll question for today was, I introduced what the show was going to be about. And so, how toxic are you? And, oh my gosh, is that person me or is that person you? I asked you that question, that person you. And the poll question is, when looking at the characteristic traits or looking at the characteristics of other people, do you find yourself in that? Can you identify yourself in some of those traits when you're looking at other people's toxic behavior? So you ask, what are some of the signs of a toxic person? Well, I'm glad you asked that. So let's talk about it. And I got this this one from www.redonline.co.uk. They talked about what are signs of a toxic person. And some of them are, they try to intimidate you to get their way. They try to control you by guilt tripping. They are easily jealous. They give backhanded compliments. They are overly defensive. Yeah. I could just speak for myself personally. When I saw this, because I saw others as well, and I'm going to try to get into some others that I saw as well. Another definition I saw was on ownyourbest.com that said, and I quote, toxic people tend to be counterproductive, talks negative most of the time, along with other characteristics such as confrontational, controlling, passive aggressive, cannot be trusted, selfish, sneaky, dramatic, seek approval and validation, and avoid taking responsibility. How many of us, one, can honestly admit that they may fall into that category, or some, we can see it with other people, and that's what happened with me when I saw it, when I saw it with someone else, or when it was time for me to start doing a self-evaluation of who I should have in my circle and who I should not, and then realize I'm that person. I've displayed those characteristics, and that's not good. It's not good because it doesn't lead to anything good. And when I think about, you know, some of the things I've gone through in my past, some of the ways I reacted and responded to things in my past, I realized, oh my gosh, yeah, this is a 911 right here. Because when you start thinking about, you know, other people, first you got to make sure self is taken care of first. You know, we have to make sure that self is taken care of first. And sometimes in that toxic, when you're receiving, you know, or accepting toxic relationships or toxic ways, you know, you find that, well, let me say this, and this is a quote. Being toxic doesn't make you a bad person. It just means that you need to make your mind up to work on you. Overcoming insecurity and low self-esteem. Let me repeat what I just said. Being toxic doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It just means that you need to make your mind up to work on you. And some of it could be overcoming insecurities and low self-esteem. Now, other people can have other reasons to be that way. But most of the time when you're dealing with toxic character characters or characteristics, I'm not going to say person because we got to be careful what we put out there. When you're dealing with toxic characteristics, there's a root for everything. And I'll use myself as the example. You know, the root for my toxic characteristics or behavior has come from abuse, emotional, mental, verbal, sexual, abandonment, rejection. So many things have caused that, you know, it's interesting because at one point I didn't think I was toxic. And how many people think, you know, how many people feel that way? And when I did the poll today, you know, it was interesting. Some of them I'm able to discuss and some of them not, but it's just interesting that most of the consensus I got from that is a lot of people don't realize or feel that they display this toxic characteristic. But let me just go ahead and tell you that everyone deals with it, whether it's, you know, some form or the other. Now, everybody might not, you know, deal with it in the same way, but everyone deals with it. And it goes back to the question is, are you big enough? Are you man enough? Are you woman enough to say, hey, something is up. I need to do something about this. I need to do something about this. So what, I'm not going to say it's twofold. Yeah, actually it's twofold. Because when you're dealing with toxic people or when you're trying to deal with toxic people, you have to deal with yourself first, okay? And we're going to talk about both sides of that, talking about ourselves and then how you also deal with other people, you know, because it's very important, you know, who you surround yourself and what you allow to absorb into your system is very, very important. And if you're just chiming in, my name is Fuchina Kirkendall, and you're chiming in and you're logging into or you're listening to Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. And tonight we're talking about how toxic are you? Oh my gosh, is that me? How toxic are you? We talked about what toxic meant, toxic behavior meant. What did that mean? What does that mean? And just recapping for those who are just chiming in on what they said about a toxic person and going back to the definition of from ownyourbest.com, it indicates that toxic people tends to be counterproductive and talks negative most of the time, along with other characteristics such as confrontational, controlling, passive-aggressive, cannot be trusted, selfish, sneaky, dramatic, seeking approval and validation, and avoids taking responsibility. Now, some may have many of them, but they do exist, you know, and at some form, I can relate to quite a few of them myself. I can relate, but as I was going and studying for this evening, I looked at, you know, what are suggestions of trying to get this under control, but we have to first own what it is. And sometimes when you're dealing with, you know, a person that is toxic or displays toxic characteristics, you know, it comes from what we believe about or you're that actual person. Some of it could be self-deception. You know, it could be what are the lies that we're believing about ourselves. You know, that's what we have to think about, because, like I said, there's a root to everything. And when you're dealing with toxic behavior, especially in owning yours, you know, we have to be very, very careful with that. You know, so I'm looking at ownyourbest.com, and it talks about self-deception. And they indicated, and I quote,
We live in a society where self-image is heavily influenced by perceptions of status and social media worshiping. The lies we tell and believe about ourselves, whether positive or negative, are a prime example of self-deception. Even used for self-protection, very key. Let's say by sugarcoating reality, building confidence, or suppressing painful feelings, it's critical to recognize its harmful impact. Here's how to stop believing the lies we tell ourselves and why we do it in the first place. Oh my goodness. I'm going to read that again. We live in a society where self-image is heavily influenced by perception of status and social media worshiping. The lies we tell and believe about ourselves, whether positive or negative, are prime examples of self-deception. Even when used for protection, let's say by sugarcoating reality, building confidence, or suppressing painful feelings, it's critical to recognize its harmful impact. Case in point, when I was in high school, I was known for having a very sharp tongue. And I'm still a person that, you know, I will give you truth, and I've worked a lot on learning to be aggressive but not abrasive. But when I was in high school, I really didn't have any filters. I didn't care about your feelings. And I told people I had a lot of insecurities when I was in high school because I was dealing with the repercussions of being molested as a kid and suppressing it for so long, didn't realize I was the behavior I was displaying was my self-protection. You know, I didn't want people to get close to me. I didn't want people to come in my personal space. You know, I just didn't want anybody to come and hurt me, and I wanted to have that control. And as a result of it, my tongue was my defense mechanism. And it didn't dawn on me that that will hurt your feelings. I knew that it would hurt because I knew it would keep you away from me. But at the same time, I didn't realize the impact that it had, because people say sticks and stones might hurt my belt, but words would never hurt me. That's a lie. Okay, that's just a lie. But we just have to be mindful of that. And as I was doing this today, you know, it's so interesting how such the things that happen in your life can play such a dramatic role for when you were younger, the traumatic experience that happened when you were younger, how it affects you as you're older. And becoming, you know, having and displaying those toxic traits, you know, it could be very, very interesting. So with that being stated, you know, self-deception. And I have to say that I did deceive myself. And when I spoke to other people about this, you know, they have different stances on it. But people who can relate to my story as far as the abuse can say that, you know, have said the same. You know, it was always some type of protection mechanism that was used for it. And, you know, most of us displayed the same thing. You know, we were controlling, we were combative. You know, you really couldn't, you had to approach in a way that, you know, easily could flip a lid on you, you know, and not realizing that, you know, just a scared little girl, that's still that scared little girl just doing the best she can to protect herself in a situation. And how many women have gone through that? And I'm finding out in my journey, there's so many women that can relate, and I'm learning men as well. They're just going through that, you know, and I'm just here to tell you, you know, we could take control of our lives. We can step up and take control of our lives because there is something better. Even when you think there's always room and area for improvement in our lives. And those toxic traits is just what they are. They're just toxic traits, and they don't have to be a defining trait of our lives. This is something that we can move forward from and don't stay stuck in, you know. So you ask yourself, well, how do you do that? That's a good question. How do you do that? Let's talk about that for a moment. But before I do that, I was going through and just looking at some of the things. I was reading my Bible because I am in the book of Proverbs right now. And if you haven't had a chance to read Proverbs, phenomenal. I wish I would have read it when I first started doing my Bible, reading my Bible, because it is the book of wisdom, just pure wisdom. And as I was reading my chapters, I'm in the chapters of 15 and 16 right now. And as I was reading this morning and, you know, thinking about the topic of discussion for today, you know, because what came up, let me go back because I got to give credit where credit is due. So the month of March is a free fall, and it's, you know, it's not a schedule month this month like we've done with the other ones. So I got a suggested topic from one of my classmates, Jimmy, and we were just having a conversation, and he mentioned about, you know, dealing with how to recover from a toxic relationship. And I liked that, but I was like, I don't know, you know. So I always pray about things, and I was like, you know, I like the idea that toxic relationship, because we've talked about toxic relationships before or negative impacts of relationship, but this one was a little different. And coming, you know, finally getting the final topic together, I was like, okay, this is it. So when I went to reading the Bible, my Bible today, I was in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15 and chapter 16, and I couldn't help but to pick up a couple of scriptures that I wanted to share with you. And some of them are, and this is coming from the New King James Version. It's from my T.D. Jakes, Women That Aren't Loose Bible. And it says, the heart knows its own bitterness, Proverbs 14 and 10. That resonated with me, because even though I did my, you know, I always protected myself with my sharp tongue, I knew that it came, you know, it was, for me, it was my defense. And I knew that at some point when I got older, you know, it was kind of getting tiring at some point, you know, but it's all you know. It was my self mechanism, and it was work. As far as I was concerned, it was working for me. So anyway, not realizing that, you know, everything that you do has an effect on someone. So another scripture, and I'll repeat that scripture I just read. The heart knows its own bitterness, Proverbs 14, chapter 10th verse. Another one I came across was, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15, 1 through 2. I was just in awe about the book of Proverbs today, because if I could read the entire chapters of 15 and 16 to you, I would, but I'm going to encourage you to read Proverbs 15 and 16. And if you can, read up to, you know, read the whole book, entire book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in it. But chapter 15 and 16 just really stuck out to me. It really does. You know, in this subject, especially, you know, having toxic traits, it's something to think about, you know, because we don't realize when we're trying to protect ourselves or whatever we're trying to do to keep ourselves together, how it does affect the other people. And also how it affects us on a spiritual level as well. Because sometimes I remember one of my sons told me, "Mom, I feel angry and I like it." I actually understood that. I feel angry and I like it. It's a comfortable state. And when you're coming from situations and that's all you know, it becomes a comfort zone. And we've talked about this on several other occasions on, you know, several different shows, that it becomes comfortable, that, you know, it's almost like that bitterness and all that. It just becomes comfortable. It becomes a comfortable state, but it's not a healthy state that we should be in. So Proverbs, pride goes before destruction. This is one of my favorites. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. I'm just going to leave that right there. He who is not the kind of there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 16th chapter 25th verse. And I'll read that one again. There is a way that seems right to man, but in its end, the way of death. Proverbs 16th chapter 25th verse. So at what point, once we realize that we need to look at the man in the mirror, stop looking at other people and start looking at the man in the mirror, at what point do we do it? Because as long as we have another day of life, we have another opportunity. Every time God gives us another day, we have another opportunity to make it right in his eyes and finding peace within ourselves, because that poison, and that's what it is, that's in our system, don't have to stay there. It could be released. The question is, do you want it gone? Do you want it gone? And how bad do you want it? Are you willing to fight the fight for your freedom, or would you want to stay in bondage? You have to make the decision. You have to make a decision. A toxic personality is most often a result of insecurity. How many people, I got my hand raised, can say they can relate to that? Or how many people are bold enough to say, you know what, there is some truth to that for me? And some people, it may not be a truth. Some people, it may be a very hard truth. And some people may just be in denial about it. It goes back to that root. So how do we change toxic behavior is the question. How do we change it? How do we change that? Well, I am glad you asked. I am glad you asked. Seven ways, and these are suggestions, seven ways to change toxic behavior. And my information tonight is coming from ownyourbest.com. So you can always go and look it up. They have some very awesome information regarding this subject. I was very drawn into it, so I couldn't help but to share it with you this evening. So let's move forward. Let me just go into this, because their definition of toxic behavior is so much like the other one. that I read to you earlier. And their definition is, behavior is how we connect our intentions to our goals. If you are struggling with toxic behavior, you own or someone else's, we've got, and then they have seven ways that you could deal with it or go into a positive direction. You know, the one thing they did say is, you know, people aren't perfect, as I mentioned earlier. People, we're not perfect. We're all going to fall short of His glory, or we're all going to make mistakes. We all are. But, you know, the thing is not the fact that, you know, the fact that you made a mistake is, what are you going to do now that has been done? What are you going to do now? Are you going to sit there, wallow about it? Are you going to sit there and not even identify or accept responsibility of it? Or are you going to blame someone else for it? What are you going to do? Sometimes in life, you have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I think, well, not think, for me, that's where I am. You know, as I turned 50 last month, I realized I'm going to my new half a century. I've been through a half a century. Now I'm going into the new half a century. And I can't go the way I left. I can't go into a new one the way I left. And I've been challenged with or faced with a situation that I have to make a decision. Like, you know what? I can't go backwards. That's what I'm learning. Or what I've come to my realizations, I can't go backwards. And I can't go backwards to things that, if it didn't mean me no good before, it ain't going to mean me no good now. So, seven ways to change toxic behavior. Let's get into it. Okay. So, the first one is establish mental goals. According to howtoownyourownbest.com, you know, establishing that mental goal, you know, it's changing your attitude. It starts there. First of all, ownership. First, acknowledging that there is an issue or a concern, and then owning it, taking a part of it and taking ownership of it and making that mental decision, because it starts in the mind. That's where the battlefield is. That's where the battle is fought. As far as on a spiritual level, that's where it is fought. And you have to change the mindset first and get into that mental state that I'm not doing this any longer. Not only am I not doing it, I'm not accepting this any longer. So let's talk about ways to change our toxic behavior. And I'm hoping I'll have time to talk about how do we deal with people with toxic, that displays toxic behavior. So the first one, as I mentioned, is establish mental goals. You know, no matter what you do, you put your mind focused on what it is, what is your goal as far as your getting rid of this toxic behavior or these toxic characteristics. What is your goal and what is your end goal? And how do you plan to get there? What is your plan of action? What is your plan of attack to take care of these goals? How are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And someone said, well, how would I do that? That could be different for different people. For me, it's a mindset. So when I'm tasked with, or when I get that negative thought in my mind, I come back with positive. For instance, I use Jesus. When that negative thought tries to come in or whatever, I just start calling on His name, because I realize that the battle is going on. And I call on Him, because if you call on Him, the enemy must flee. And I will continue to do it until he does flee. And he does, because he can't win. He cannot win. You know, and also, you know, when you're dealing with other people, let me see if I can try to intertwine this. When you're dealing with other people, you have to, you know, that mental, you have to, you know, set boundaries with that as well, which goes to number two, setting boundaries. You know, misery loves company. Okay. And I tell people a lot, I don't like to be around negative people because I know how negative I could be when it comes to myself. And I cannot continue to continue my self-deception or continue believing lies about myself when God has told me who I am and whose I am. So setting those boundaries, you know, on a personal level for myself, you know, like I said, once that enemy tried to come in and attack me, I have to go in with the word. I have to combat it, those thoughts with the word. And I remember working at a job where I would have things come in my head and I would just keep a slips of paper and my pen, and I would just write it down, write down my thoughts or whatever, and then I would just destroy it. Just to get it out of my system, I would destroy it, you know. So whatever works for you, but you have to set boundaries for yourself and set boundaries for other people, you know, on what you're going to condone, what you're not going to condone. In your life, you know, and your work balance, you just, you know, the bottom line is this: peace of mind, you know, and it starts mentally, especially. You have to have it there, and you have to do everything you can to keep that inner peace. And I will say this, you know, when it comes to that, if you still have to deal with that person and they're toxic or whatever, then, you know, you can love people from afar. That's what I've learned. I can love you from afar and you're okay. You're cool people. We always going to be cool. However, you can't be in my space. I don't feel comfortable when you're in my space. I feel a certain way when you're in my space. And because of that, I can't have you in my space anymore. And it could be as simple as that for me. And if it just gets to a point that they just don't care, then some, you know, sometimes other actions may be required. Like for me, it's block. You know, I will just block you. At this point, I'm not talking anymore. I will just block you and I'll call it a day. So everybody is different, but you have to establish, you know, the mental mindset, and then set your boundaries. And then you want to stay active. You know, sounds, you know, it. So basically staying active, what they're indicating here on this particular website on ownyourbest.com, they're indicating, you know, the connection between between emotional and social benefit of physical activity. So what you would need to do is stay positive by staying active, a positive mindset and an attitude. For me, it would be working out. Now, I've kind of slacked off on my working out, but I noticed that now that I haven't been doing it as much, it makes a big difference. And it makes a big difference in my physical. It's made a big difference in my mental and even spiritually. It's made a big difference. But then also, being focused on, I have a vision board. So I finally put my vision board up where now I'm like, okay, the only person that's stopping me is me. And when I'm focused on other things, it's taken away from my goal of where I need to be or where I want to be. And dealing with other people's behaviors or toxic behaviors and then having mine flared up, I have, you know, mine alone is enough. And trying to take on other people, it's just too much. It's just too much. But just staying active and staying consistent and persistent on staying busy or staying active is very, very important. That means every day you should be doing something towards your vision. If you have a vision plan or a vision board, every day you should have something accomplished towards your vision. And that's how I look at it now. And now I'm like really set on it. I'm taking a new class now, you know, to increase my knowledge with the word, with God. And so for me, I'm excited about it. I'm taking a parenting class. You know, these are all things that I'm preparing myself for to make myself better and to make things better for my loved ones. That's what I'm doing. So staying active. And then it says, accept the past. This is a good one. You know, it's hard to forget the past. Some people it's hard, especially when you've had traumatic things happen in your life. And sometimes you just can't. But the thing is, when you remember the past, it should not be fresh, like something like it happened yesterday. You should have a different reaction and a different response to when that past is brought up. Or, you know, the enemy, and I'll use in this case, you know, the enemy will come in and remind you of certain things about your past. And sometimes, you know, when you get to that point where you're like, you know what, my past is just what it is, my past. And for me, I literally had to tell God, not God, I had to actually I had to speak it out loud. And I said, you know, Satan, you've been using this against me for a long time, and I am no longer going to let you have hold over my life anymore. And at this point, I'm going to release it. God has forgiven me, and now I am now forgiven myself. So you no longer have that power anymore. I give you that power no more. I had to take control of that. And I'm finding even more now that there are other things. When I think that I was done with it, there's something that will come up. And I'm like, you know what? I have to deal with it. You know, as we mentioned, I think it was a few months ago, we talked about, you know, forgiving someone, you know, totally and truly forgiving and pardoning them for their sins, because the truth of the matter is you've already been hurt. They've already hurt you. The hurt has already been done. And regardless of what they say, regardless of what they do, they can't take that pain away, that you've already experienced that pain. So at this point, take your power, forgive them, and then forgive yourself. Your past is just what it is, your past. And now when people try to bring me back there, I use it as a reminder of how good God is, because he brought me through. And I'm here. I am here. Even though the enemy tried to take me out, I am here. I am here. So I no longer am embarrassed or no longer ashamed or trying to hide or be in a street. No, I'm not living in darkness anymore, nor am I going to let anybody do it, because it is toxic for me. I can't do that anymore. I have to move forward. So we talked about one, as far as seven ways to change toxic behavior, establish mental goals. Number two, set boundaries or setting boundaries. Number three, staying active. Number four, accept the past. Number five, practice self-awareness. Practice awareness. For me, I would say that when you are, you know what, I need to... When you are dealing with it, it goes back to when you have that mindset and the enemy comes in and he tries to remind you of that past, you just self-direct yourself and remind yourself of who you are and whose you are. That's what we have to remind ourselves, who we are and whose we are, and get in the habit of doing it. You want to get in the habit of doing it, you know. So when it's just a total mindset, and you have to do it over and over again, you know, you have to do it over and over again. I'm going to Phoenix, Arizona where I put out the poll questions. And the response I got from the poll question was, you know, everyone has some type of toxic in them when we look in the mirror, in the person in the mirror. And that's why we have to be in constant communication with God and consistent with our relationship with God. Also, we have to be committed and persistent with self-improvement in alignment with God's word rather than a persistent push to get others to improve what we have determined are their flaws. I really like that response. What we have determined are their flaws. Isn't that very interesting that we have a tendency of determining other people's flaws and fail to do it for ourselves? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And so it's interesting because so many people just been so gracious on this as far as answering the poll question. And that self-awareness is when you, you know, you have to redirect and it comes, you know, when he comes or when he comes in like a flood, you just have to redirect. Number six is very interesting for me because I've talked about it on occasion or two, and that's one I continue to encourage. And it's seek support. You know, just knowing that, you know, how to stop toxic behavior is not enough sometimes. Sometimes you need, you know, it takes time, it takes resilience, it takes self-compassion. But if you're like caught up in a cycle, sometimes you need that extra help. For me, it's God, getting closer to God, but I also decided to go back to a therapist so I can have someone that I can talk to who can point out certain things that I need to see that I wouldn't normally see for myself or choose not to see. We have to, first of all, let me just say this. There is no shame in going to get help. We get caught up in this caught up in society thinking that seeking help is a bad thing, especially coming from the country when I was younger, you know, and older people, it was like, you know, you don't bring people in your business. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have to go and seek support and outside help because apparently what's working, what you thought was working, is not working for you. And you have to be okay because, one, everybody doesn't need to know that you're in therapist. I'm just one of people that I don't care if you know if I'm a therapist. It's self-improvement for me, and that's all I really care about. You know, I'm just going to encourage you, you know, if you haven't thought about it, you know, and maybe you're on the fence about it, go for it. The only person that will benefit from it, well, actually quite a few, it will be you and the people you are around. Because there are times when you're dealing with people with toxic behavior, people don't want to be around that. People don't want to be around there. Sometimes they may just tolerate you. I'm guilty of it on both ends, where people just tolerated me for whatever the situation is, you know. So just keep that in mind, you know. But seek help. There's no shame in the game in that. There's no shame with you wanting better for your life. So just remember that. There is no shame in you wanting better in your life. I saw a quote that I wanted to share. Often people that criticize your life usually are the same people that don't know the price you pay to get where you are today. I got that, and that comes from Live Life Happy. I'll read it again. Often people that criticize your life
are usually the same people that people that don't know the price you paid to get to where you are today.
People look at some people and think that they're all together. But even going back to the seek help, for me, going to therapy has been truly amazing for me. Having that voice of reasoning besides the Lord, I'm talking about someone on a physical level, it's refreshing to me to be able to get those things out, to get those feelings out, you know, besides of myself. Because sometimes you can't, you know, a therapist is needed. Just know that there's no shame in that. Never be embarrassed about trying to take control of your own life. And honestly, everybody doesn't need to know it. You don't have to share that. They don't need to know that. They don't. They really don't. Number seven before it. So we talked about the seven ways to change toxic behavior. Establish mental goals was number one. Number two was set boundaries. Number three, stay active. Number four, accept the past. Number five, practice self-awareness. Number six, seek support. And finally, own your actions. What do I mean by that? Managing your life and taking responsibility for your actions. I'm coming from the website of ownyourbest.com. This one right here, I would say by far, if we don't do nothing else, we definitely need to do that and be the big girls and big boys that we are and own up to our actions. Have you ever met anyone that can, you know, tell you about yourself or tell you about others, but when you try to point something out to them, then they get dumbfounded, or better yet, they just don't accept it, and they give you resistance. Have you been that person? Yes, that would be me. I have done that. You know, but as I've gotten older and realized that, you know what, it ain't everybody. If everybody's telling you the same thing, it's not everybody, it's you. And that is so true. It's not everybody, it is me. And I had to start taking responsibility and accountability for my actions. You know, I had to be a, you know, it's not only one thing to, you know, practice self-awareness or setting boundaries. It's another thing, you know, you can't make excuses for yourself, you know, always justifying why you're doing what you're doing, but always finding fault with other people doing pretty much the same thing you're doing. We have to own up to our actions. And once we own up to our actions, then we know we can't make excuses any longer. Okay, and that's for yourself and also other people. But when you do it for yourself, it empowers you to do better. If that is your desire, it empowers you to want to do better. Before I leave, I want to leave you with this quote. You can always go to the website of ownyourbest.com. So I leave you with a quote from T.D. Jakes when he said, not a quote, but he says this in his Thou Art Loose Bible. He is not the kind of father, referring to God, who would deny a good thing to you. If he is trying to wrench a little sin out your toy, out of your hand, it's because he knows you will eventually destroy it. You, yourself, your children, or yourself. Let it go. This is Fatina Kirkendall. And you're listening to Chronicles of a Fond Woman. Have a good night.